From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Obama is taking his push for a health care overhaul to the Midwest today as Democrats and Republicans in Congress debate whether there are enough votes for passage. As Dan Bobkoff with member station WCPN reports, the president will be making the case this afternoon in Northeast Ohio.
As the U.S. House nears a final vote on health care overhaul, President Obama's visit to Strongsville will be his third campaign-style event in a week to rally support for the issue. Strongsville is a Cleveland suburb that tends to lean right. He lost to John McCain in the city by 5 percentage points. But the bulk of residents there are independents, and John Green of the University of Akron says the trip could have a marginal effect if it can sway skeptical swing voters.
But the critical politics of the moment is to firm up support among Democrats. And to the extent that he can get independent-leaning voters to pay attention to Democrats, to maybe put pressure on Democratic members, then it could make a difference.
House Democrats are hoping to vote on the health care overhaul bill by the end of the week. For NPR News, I'm Dan Bobkoff in Cleveland.
The New York Times is reporting an investigation is underway into a Pentagon official who allegedly used private contractors in Afghanistan and Pakistan to help track and kill suspected militants. The paper quotes government officials claiming Michael Furlong, a senior civilian employee and retired U.S. Air Force officer, set up a unit of contractors from private security companies employing former operatives from the CIA and military special forces. The White House is continuing its sharp criticism of Israel. As NPR's Allison Keyes reports, it stems from Israeli plans for a Jewish settlement, which threatens a new round of Mideast peace talks.
President Obama's chief political advisor, David Axelrod, reiterated the administration's condemnation of Israel's announcement last week during a visit by Vice President Joe Biden that it intended to build 1,600 new apartments in East Jerusalem. Axelrod told NBC's Meet the Press that blunt comments by both Vice President Biden and Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton reflect the president's thinking.
This was an affront. It was an insult. But most importantly, it undermined this very fragile effort to bring peace to that region.
Axelrod says the timing of the announcement, just as efforts were being made to restart stalled peace talks, was very destructive. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Toyota is holding a news conference later today in California amid questions about that runaway Prius on a San Diego freeway. A congressional memo says technicians with the automaker and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration were unable to duplicate the sudden unintended acceleration in that vehicle. It reached speeds of 94 miles per hour before the driver was able to bring it to a stop. This is NPR News from Washington. Hollywood is remembering actor Peter Graves, best known for TV's Mission Impossible and as the bumbling airline pilot in the movie Airplane. Graves died of an apparent heart attack yesterday outside his California home. As NPR's Bob Mondello reports, Graves' acting career spanned nearly 60 years.
Peter Graves was tall, handsome, cool, and authoritative. Whether he was being attacked by giant grasshoppers in 50s sci-fi flicks or leading a team of clever spies as Jim Phelps, head of the Impossible Missions Force in the 60s TV series Mission Impossible. Born Peter Arneff, Peter Graves changed his last name so he wouldn't be confused with his actor brother James Arneff of Gunsmoke. Then he made a name for himself, playing everything from a ranch owner with a beautiful black stallion in TV's Fury to a security officer with a terrible secret in the prisoner of war drama Stalag 17. Generally deadpan and unflappable, he could also spoof his own gravitas, as he did playing a pilot with peculiar tastes in the film comedy Airplane. Peter Graves was 83. Bob Mondello, NPR News.
This is sentencing day for the man convicted of stalking ESPN reporter Aaron Andrews. Michael Barrett pleaded guilty to interstate stalking and agreed to serve more than 2 years in prison. Barrett, a 48-year-old Chicago-area insurance executive, admitted shooting nude videos of Andrews through a hotel room peephole. Sentencing takes place in a Los Angeles courtroom. March Madness is officially underway, with the field of college basketball's 65 teams now set. Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, and Syracuse are the top regional seeds. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.